Evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 7 p.m. April the 1st. Call the order.
Olson?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer? Gibson? Size absent? Barry?
Here.
Lucaro here? Dave?
Here. Pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any town hall, Carolyn?
No.
Okay.
So we're here this evening to talk about the network cabling installation service proposals.
And I will turn it over to Mr. Kristoff from Sentinel. He's been very instrumental in helping us with this bid project, so I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure working so far with everybody. Again, we're engaged to go ahead and put together drawing specifications to allow for an open bid for the project to have the library recable. We spent the bids, we went through a public notice. We had a question and answer mandatory walkthrough. We had six bidders show up. Of the six bidders that showed up for the bid walkthrough, only two actually submitted a bid on time. There was a third late bid that we obviously cannot accept. It was good to get that bid, though, because it showed that the lower bid was in the ballpark, whereas the other bid was way off base. Once we got the bids back, I went back to the office. I went through them, see where the discrepancies were. And for the high bidder, his quantities were incredibly off. We actually reached back out to him, gave him the opportunity to go ahead and re-bid his, redo his bid, and he was still hot. And this is after going back to the manufacturer to go back and talk to him, because he's bidding the same solution that the other bidder was bidding, and his quantities are dead on. So I don't know why the other guy is insistent on almost doubling the quantity of cabling. We don't know. We'll have to talk to him, and he just doesn't seem to want to change his bid. So after all that was said and done, again, the net source bid was the lowest bid. His quantities are correct. The only thing that they are missing right now is the actual fee for the permit, because the other guy had to pull a permit for this. And based on what we saw, the permit fee estimate was from the other bidder, we recommend you hold about a $5,000 allowance for that bid. Permit?
How much?
$5,000. It should come in less than that, but I don't want to tell you it's the thing that it comes in over. I would just hold the allowance. Again, part of the reason for that is that BART requires that an actual electrical contractor pulls the permit and not a low voltage contractor. So they're in contact with someone here locally to know to help them pull that permit. I think the other reason that Smart Innovations was so high also, they were not certified to install the solution themselves. They were subcontracting the work to another contractor who was certified in that solution. So I think that also added on additional costs because they're marking it, I believe, the other provider, so and that's what really caused the pricing to go up. There are a few questions that have come up as part of the process, and we did check the references. They all checked out for that source. We were happy with their work. There were no specific library references. These guys do mostly school work and or that kind of work. Again, I having done most of the school work, it's pretty similar to what this project is. I will be honest, this is a pretty straightforward project in the sense that we are doing a one-for-one like replacement. In fact, we're deleting a lot of the locations that are here. So it's pretty straightforward. We're following existing pathways. There's nothing out of the ordinary where they're going to be tearing into walls or doing anything. We're putting new locations in. So it should be pretty straightforward. As far as warranties go, again, NetSource is certified. We went through this whole rigmarole with the manufacturer. They are certified to install the solution. So what that gives you is a 20-year performance solution. So what that means is we get the cabling that as installed, once it's finally installed and tested and certified by the manufacturer, it will give you the performance for 20 years. It's guaranteed for 20 years to give you the performance of 1 gig to the desktop. Now, if there's an issue where your IT staff notices that there are certain locations that just aren't performing the right way, they will call NetSource first, they will come out, they will recertify the cable. If there's an issue, they will fix it. Having said that, if it's a defect in the cabling, if somebody cuts through with a chainsaw, or just, that's on you guys at that point. But again, anything from a performance standpoint, that cable is guaranteed to perform. If NetSource goes out of business in 6 months, you don't lose your warranty. The warranty is held by the manufacturer. So if for some reason NetSource is no longer there, you will call Leviton. You call us, we'll help you take a good call from Leviton. They will send out another certified contractor on their dime to come out and troubleshoot the issue.
So it's just 25 years.
He's got a 25-year warranty. I think he's giving you his own personal guarantee for 25 years. He's warranting his work. We only ask for...
It doesn't say his work. It doesn't say labor.
The warranty's for 20 years.
Okay.
The warranty's 20 years. That's what Leviton gives as a warranty. It's a 20-year
warranty. But it doesn't say that anywhere in here.
I've got the certificates from them. And that's okay. What we asked for in a bit.
Okay. And do they give a labor warranty, like full labor for first 5 years, or how is that?
Usually it's 1 year. It's 1 year from the date of signing.
But what are they giving?
It's 1 year.
Okay.
If you want additional time, they'll get a charge for that. And again, I mean, once it's installed, it's tested, there should be no reason to touch it again. I mean, it's in the walls. I mean, anything that's going to happen to it outside of somehow it doesn't perform, it's going to be a physical damage thing. Somebody's going to kick that receptacle, somebody's going to tear at it, somebody's going to pull a patch cord out of the wall. Typical vandalism that happens, unfortunately, in some locations. But it's going to be pretty rock solid. And again, what happens is, it's not them giving you the word. They send the actual test results to the manufacturer. The manufacturer then analyzes those results and then gives you the warranty. If it doesn't pass the test, they make them come back and they make them redo it until it passes the test. So they've got to install it the right way. And again, our specifications require that they install it to all the standards. And again, we'll also be here throughout the process. So as they're installing it as part of our contract, we're going to come back and do that punch list acceptance. We're going to come in, look to make sure that it's installed the way we've asked it to be installed. There's nothing lying on the ceiling tiles. There's nothing. Terminations are correct. So that, you know, you get that kind of double look. Because again, this is a big investment for the library. I mean, we're not talking a couple dollars. This is $70,000 for capital investment you guys are outlaying. So we want to make sure that it's installed properly.
So. Actually, Trustee Olson,
I'm sorry, the
first question.
I looked the wrong way.
I didn't hear you say whether you had checked references.
I did.
Okay.
He said that.
The people that are on their list.
Yes.
He said it at the very beginning, Trustee Olson.
So everything is good for him. So. And then again, the manufacturer also speaks highly of them. The manufacturer won't give them the certification unless they can pass their certification thing. They go through continuous training. Because what happens is, like I said.
No, I understand, yeah, but
yeah, I know.
I'm just asking whether we or you reached out.
I don't know if you reached out to them, but I know I called them. So they're good.
My question is this product. How long has it been in existence? How long have people been using it?
Well, Leviton's been in business for about 125 years. So they're one of the largest electrical manufacturers in the world. So, I mean, they've been around for a long time. The product that we're specifying here, it's been on the market for at least 15, 20 years. I mean, it's a Category 6 cable. It's pretty rock solid. And they improve all the time on it. But, like I said, this isn't the latest and greatest. You're not getting Generation 1 on the cable. So it's rock solid.
So, I would imagine you've got the question list. So the next one would be, one bidder talked about the price based on, see that?
They know, we talked this through with them. They understand that we're dependent on the sprinkler system. Now, we told them shoot for that April, May timeframe, because that's theoretically when we're hoping that the ceiling opened up. Okay. They know they're dependent on sprinkler fitters, you know, the ceiling's open.
Continue down the list of questions.
Sure. So you asked what the cost of cable runs in the future. So NetSuite did give an add-and-deduct cost of $360. That assumes that's done during the project. Obviously, if they demobilize and they're out of the project, you call them back 6 months from now, you're going to be paying probably $1,200 to $1,500 cable run. Because it's a service call at that point. If you want a new location, they've got to come in and pull that. They got to mobilize. And theoretically, if we're talking a new location, we're talking something that's not there's not a back box, there's conduit stub in the wall, so now we're running that conduit stub, you're running that back box. So there's a lot of work that goes in there. There's cutting into the wall, there's patching, painting, so it's going to be expensive to go back. So if there are locations you want now, or something that you've kind of, I know some questions here on some of the locations we've chose deleted. If you do not want those deleted, you want to actually pull a cable to those, now would be the time to do that, because it's going to be $360 as opposed to 4 to 5 times that cost at a later date.
And Manny responded to those questions, and I think we're standing firm with those.
Did everybody read Manny's response?
I don't have Manny's response, but
I can't speak to Manny's responses. Yeah, I can't speak to those.
So, in reviewing the floor plans provided by NetSource, it appears that many of the existing locations where the public access computers are located are being abandoned. For instance, the 2 in adult services near the adult services desk. Are these accounted for elsewhere? Manny's answer is, not sure which set of PCs are being referenced, so I'll answer both probables. The 2 Express PCs are not being abandoned. The 2 web catalogs use very little bandwidth, so we are fine on Wi-Fi. One of the latter is already on Wi-Fi as the existing runs to that location are non-functional. All cabling to the meeting room are being abandoned. Is there no longer a need? Manny responded, only 2 connections remain, one for a Wi-Fi app and one for the lobby display. Those are being replaced. The other cabling and much of the abandoned cable in general was put in place with the incorrect assumption that the public would need to use Ethernet cable for internet access. As you may be aware, Wi-Fi has become so ubiquitous that most new PCs lack an Ethernet port entirely. In addition, the public Wi-Fi networks are segmented away from our critical infrastructure, while the Ethernet jacks are not. To that end, all runs being abandoned had already been disconnected from our wired network for security reasons, and any public equipment still requiring Ethernet access is likewise being segmented off the network containing those critical systems. Next question. The cabling to the monitors in the lobby and to the right of the inner door likewise are being abandoned, yet the Friends just agreed to purchase a new monitor to replace one of these. Manny's answer. This is incorrect. The lobby display is one of the 2 runs being replaced in the meeting room as mentioned before. The display replaced by the Friends by the self-checks is likewise using cabling slated for replacement, so it is not being abandoned. The display by the entrance by circulation had already been using Wi-Fi, so no in-use cabling, if any existed, is being abandoned. It is also worth noting that the last display right over by the front entrance doors to the library has failed, and we're not going to replace it. In the East and West conference rooms, the cabling is being abandoned, which provide connections to the wall-mounted monitors. Will they be set up for wireless connections? Manny's answer. Display connections will remain. Network cabling is being removed. The display section of the floor plate in the East conference room is already non-functional. Patrons may use an HDMI cable provided by the AS desk to connect to the side of either display. It is of sufficient length for this purpose. And then the last question. In the staff lounge conference room, cabling is being abandoned. I have participated in this phone on conference calls using a speakerphone. Will we have another way to do this when the need arises? Manny's answer. We have not used the meeting room with our existing phone system for quite some time. It is uncertain if this capability still exists in the first place, so we may not even have a way to do it with our current phone system now. I do not remember having done this in the staff lounge ever. Regardless, we may have alternative options for conference calls. The library holds software licenses for Zoom and Microsoft Teams, which are video and teleconferencing capable using a PC. Additionally, the new phone system does include a pair of Wi-Fi capable phones that could serve this function by more traditional means.
I have an additional question about this room. When we show films in here, and I think we're doing some teen films, and I don't know that we're doing adult because we've got the license now. How are those fed to the projection device, and do we need Wi-Fi, or can it be done via Wi-Fi versus a hardwire?
So typically those are either streaming, or we do actually have a Blu-ray player as well that can hook into the projector. The Wi-Fi connection is sufficient for streaming video.
But I think, isn't our license for internet access films as opposed to us physically getting the disc?
I would have to ask Mallory. I'm not aware. I apologize. I'd have to ask Mallory.
Well, that's part of why I was wondering why we were banning everything in this room.
From what I understand, everything can be streamed.
I'm sorry?
I think everything can be streamed, or we have the Blu-ray player.
If I may interject, there is no licensing difference between Ethernet cabling and Wi-Fi. It would both be internet, so whether those ones are being abandoned is not an issue in terms of that.
Okay, so we have strong enough Wi-Fi to support films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, sometimes when there's a problem with Wi-Fi, the signal isn't that strong, they'll say, can you plug in? Can you, you know, hardwire, can you plug in? With having a cable in here, it just is a backup for something at the rate they're charging versus having them come back if we needed it. Just throwing it out there.
The Wi-Fi access point is right there in that corner.
Okay.
So that's, since there's not much obstruction in this room, there's nothing getting really in the way of that.
Okay.
I heard you indicate that if we are to run cabling at post installation, that we could expect somewhere $1,200 to $1,500 per line, which is five times what we're currently
it always
bidding
is.
For. I obviously have. I guess because I looked at the bid specifications, but not in depth. Is there excess capacity on the ladders or whatever the central point?
Yeah, there'll be some capacity on the patch panels and the ladder track, and we'll accommodate that. Again, the biggest cost. Right, why it costs so much when they come back? They're rolling a truck. They're going to charge you 8 hours minimum for two guys to come out. That's really where the cost is. It's not so much the materials. It's not even so much the labor. It's the fact that they're going to roll a truck. They're going to charge you for a full day, minimum two guys. That's where the cost comes in.
And if I understood correctly, well, we haven't got to whom specifically you're recommending, but assuming that it's that. As the low bidder, they're located in Pontiac, Illinois, which is probably 2 hours from here. So, do you know if we get charged for travel time too on top of it?
That was included in their bid.
That's included.
It's included in their bid.
And your special notes.
Again, any. We will charge travel time for any company, whether they're local or not. They're going to come out and do a service call outside of anything really like this. But their travel and expenses is included in that. They've included that in the bid. They're not going to charge you extra for the travel.
I just had a question for you and for Manny. Either or both can answer. Let's just say we had a program running in the conference room and streaming isn't always guaranteed.
And 4K will give it some trouble sometimes, yes.
So, you know, we've all dealt with streaming issues. And my concern is, this is a library, and if we're having an important event and there's an issue with the streaming, we should have a backup. So I'm saying the cable would be the backup. So I'm saying that we include the cable in this room.
For $360 an additional drop, cost a $70,000 project. I don't think that's unreasonable.
Right.
It's not my money, but I don't think it's unreasonable.
I think it's a backup plan to have, because if we have an event and we're streaming and the streaming isn't effective, there's lag. There's just, you know, all the what ifs.
Manny, what's your opinion?
Functionally speaking, that would be something that would not. Currently, none of the jacks in here except those cables are connected already. So, I would already have to do some work in order to enable that to begin with. So I would probably leave that unconnected unless there were some, unless that situation occurred. And if there is, there are also security implications to leaving a physical network line available to the public. Even with segmenting it off into VLANs, there are networking tools that can, you can connect to a port. I have one in my list of supplies. It'll tell you what model switch you're connected to, what ports you're connected to on the switch, what VLAN you're on, things like that, things you can use to hack into the network. So I am, from a security perspective, I'm not comfortable giving the public random access to the wired network.
But to your point, in the event if there were a failure of the wireless, you're trying to show something, you could temporarily hook them up.
That was my thought. I know we got into a heavier conversation there.
That's okay.
And I that's all I felt. I thought it was a backup. That's all.
Well, I didn't think it was, Trustee Schmidt, I didn't believe that it was a heavier conversation. It was, you know, we respect what this gentleman has, and Manny being our super sleuth, it's just mm-hmm. good to hear both.
I understand.
Yeah, but to Manny's point, though, you would definitely not want to have that location punched down on the back end. It would be,
correct.
There was a disaster, Manny would have to go physically connect it just for that conference. Once that's done, disconnect that patch right back, so he's not connected to the switch, so he couldn't come in. Otherwise, you would walk in, you plug in it, but once it disconnects it, you plug that port, it's nothing. It's dead. It'd be like a dead receptor. If I pop the breaker, there'd be nothing there for it. But like I said, for $360, right. I mean, if the location's already here, we just add it. It's there, and it maybe just never punches it down unless it's an emergency we need it. My final question, though, is how do you connect up the projector now, though?
So the projector usually runs off of either a computer on Wi-Fi or the DVD player using an adapter.
But is there a HDMI cable that like someone's down to somewhere? Or
it is VGA.
Oh God. Okay, so yeah. That's a problem. But there's, yeah,
we actually have. If you look up top there, there's a.
I can see it.
Yeah. There's a converter.
So there's your second point of failure. So you could have the great internet access to the laptop, but whatever's affecting the wireless there may affect the wireless to the projector. So you can still, unless you have a direct HDMI from that laptop to the projector, you're not going to get the throughput.
It's VGA in the wall from the projector.
That's what I'm saying. You can have to run an HDMI cable. HDMI.
I don't think we've had any issues with the streaming of the movies.
The only, this was the week before I left for my vacation, there was one random computer that didn't like our HDMI adapter for HDMI to VGA. It works fine with our laptop, but for some reason it didn't work with his.
You guys all PCs or Android apples? What? You guys use PC or you guys Apple? Or just, it doesn't matter?
It was a PC, and ours is a PC, so.
No, the reason I ask is most times you'll find issues with the apples because of the resolution, mm-hmm. non-resolution.
Yeah, no, I mean, VGA is limited to 1080p, if I remember correctly, so.
I was just curious, because I know sometimes the Macintosh has it, but aspect ratio goes off.
Yeah, actually, we're leaving some performance of this projector on the table. It's a 4K capable projector, but the only signals we can feed it are 1080p.
Regardless, for $360, I would recommend joining the
membership. Thank you.
If nothing else, you will. There will come some day where you might just need it. Like I said, I would not leave it connected to Manny's point the whole time.
So. Right.
So how do you? Maybe I should open the scan first. So how do you then secure all the other data drops from the facility?
For the most part. The ones in the public areas are unconnected. That the ones that are not in use in the public areas are unconnected. The ones that I can't avoid using are segmented off. Like the casual computing area over here, those are segmented off. But unfortunately, those still do have a certain level of network access. And like I said, people with specific knowledge and devices can discover things about our infrastructure using a even if I were to lock those Ethernet cables in at the box, there's still the other end at the computer to consider. So
there comes a point where you're not going to be able. It's not a skiff.
There's only a certain level of security I can provide in a public facility.
Right. What? How many hours do you anticipate it's going to take the installation to occur? I know we've got 159 lines, I believe.
Correct. It's 159. They're going to be it's going to be dependent on a few factors. It's going to be dependent on how they work around the sprinkler fitters, because obviously that work's going on simultaneously, so they're going to have to be in certain areas. Now, again, I believe the idea was the entire city has come out of the facility all at once, so it's not going to be done in segments. So they can theoretically be working in other areas where the sprinkler fitters aren't, but I would see this not taking more than, they can be, they need contiguous access to the space, knowing that obviously the library is operational during the day and they're going to have to work in certain areas we can find, I would say 3 to 4 weeks.
The reason I'm asking is if we subsequently find that we need to abandon lines and put in new lines, because a line, I'm assuming, once installed, runs to a specific location and that's it.
Yeah.
It has no further use other than to that location.
Correct.
But if we subsequently decide that we're going to move things around as far as physical locations of work sites, et cetera, within the library, what, in an 8-hour period of time, what's a reasonable number of lines that you think could be pulled? I'm trying to get a sense of.
No, I understand. I would say from a, and again, they don't pull it singularly. What I mean by that is, if they know they've got a cluster of cabling going to this area, they will pull that bundle together to a certain point and then they branch it off. So it's not like the guy's going to pull two cables and then come back two pools of cables. So I know what you're getting, I'm not trying to be evasive to your answer. Again, this goes to the means and methods of how to do it. But I would say realistically, they could probably get at least 15 locations done a day. Probably more. It depends on how many guys they have here, too. Because again, it's not just two guys, they're probably going to crew four people, so I have 30 locations a day.
But if we haven't done a space needs analysis, so we really don't have a sense of what could change physically as far as locations within our existing structure, let alone consideration of expansion. But when that occurs, is it
things
inevitably will, if we're moving 8 lines in a day at $1,500 labor and $260 a...
Well, it'd probably be a little cheaper at that point. Right? I mean, with that, if you're doing that kind of work, or you're doing those many drops, then there's some economies of scale. If they're just calling them out to do a onesie-twosie, that's where it's expensive. If you're calling them out to do something, you know you're moving 16 locations, you're moving 12 locations, that's more of an economy of scale. It makes it worth their while to come out there, the materials.
But that's an unknown at this point,
definitely,
because we have no idea.
So here's the thing. So in our specification, and again, this assumes you do this before they start pulling cable, they are obligated to relocate any location we show within 25 feet of the original spot. So they build some slack on that. But once it's in, you come back and tell them, now you're going to pay for that, you want to move it. The other issue we're talking about here is right now we are doing a one-for-one swap. So for every single location that's there, it's a one. They're going to use the old cable as a pull string, pull the old cable through it, whatever they're going to do, but they're going to the same location. Any new location is going to necessitate more than just the cable pull. It's going to require conduit, back boxes, and in some cases, depending on where you're going, potentially trenching the floor to get to that location. So that's a totally different project at that point, because I'm talking about just the cost of the guy who pumped the cable.
Right.
Now you're talking an electrician, a potentially a general contractor putting it. Obviously, if you're doing this as part of an overall refresh, you've got a general contractor on board, and there's an architect on board, you're changing walls, you're changing things. They would address some of those things. But again, it's a larger project, and it's not just, oh, throw a cable to the location. There's a lot of infrastructure behind it to even get the cable there. So the sooner you would know this, the better off it would be. You can kind of daisy chain this, but it doesn't sound like this is going to happen the next month and a half.
No.
Is there anything other than the locations that we've abandoned? All right. Is there any reason that our existing cabling needs to be replaced at this point? Are we really going to have any substantial savings because the ceilings have to be open?
Oh, substantially. For somebody to come back out and tear those ceilings out, I mean, that, because it's not the cable contractor, it's a labor. It's a lot of labor. And again, it's a separate contractor, so now they have to come out with a separate contractor. You're going out, pulling the ceiling out again, and then to go back into that ceiling. It's again, I can't tell you what to do. I'm just telling you from a cost perspective, you are going to incur costs that you wouldn't need to incur by delaying this. I understand that there are going to be additional locations, but again, if you're doing this part of an overall renovation project,
we don't even.
I'm just saying.
We don't even know if you know. I mean, I envision the space assessment looking at the shelving and more of the interior and trying to refurbish. I'm not looking at structurally moving circulation. You know, yeah. I mean.
And I will be honest with you, and to Manny's point, we are pulling less and less physical station cabling for PCs. It is all wireless. Like Manny had said before, if you buy a laptop today, there is not an Ethernet port on that laptop. At best, you had to buy a dock, and it's not, everything's designed to be wireless. You know, at that point, it's far easier because right now we're utilizing existing wireless access point locations that are on the walls. At that point, what you'd want to do is you want to put those in the ceiling, and then you could mount this to the actual grid themselves, and that's far cheaper because there's no conduit, you're paying for some J-hooks, some supports, and again, if they're closer where you've already got supports, they can run through those same ring routes and maybe come off a little bit. And if I'm saying things, it's not me if you want me to explain what I'm talking about.
Right.
I just realized as I'm getting into this, I'm going a little deep into the weeds. Right. But there are ways to do this to give you that coverage you're going to need for, you know, whether it's study pods or, you know, reference desks or whatever. The days of running all that cabling are really, even in commercial spaces, we're not seeing anymore. People are going for soft phones. I mean, they're their phones and their laptop. And it's all wireless now. We're put higher speed wireless cable in the ceiling.
So if I...
What about telephone systems?
Again, your phone system, it'll work off your standard category 6. But like I said, a lot of people go to soft phones, but your PC becomes your phone. There is no handset anymore. Your extension's on the laptop. So whether you're in the library or at home, you're getting your phone call to your desk. But as far as right now, and Manny, correct me if I'm wrong, right now you still have the old system.
We're in the process.
You're in the process of upgrading it. The new system will run on the cable when you install.
Right.
It's all data now.
But it requires cable.
It does require a cable. So if you notice, again, at a later date, if there's a location where you need a phone drop, you will have to pull cable to that. I know the dilemma. I understand. It's do you go ahead and pull the trigger on this, knowing that you're going to have to open the ceiling for a few locations over the day, but knowing that you only have to open a small portion of the ceiling, maybe just that single route, or again, you're going to go through this whole process, disrupting the library, pulling the ceilings out, having the sprinkler fitters work, put the ceiling back in, and then 6 months from now, your space lead plants comes back, and maybe one or two things change, but now you go back and cable everything you do with cable anyway. It's a catch 22. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't answer that question.
Of course not. But we don't. It doesn't make sense to most of us to open up the ceiling for just one project and then close it back up and then have to rip it open again, like you said earlier. So it would make the most sense and probably the most inexpensive way to do it by doing, you know, both the sprinklers and the cabling and all that at the same time.
Now, I will say this. If you hit a big inkling of where you may want to add some additional drops at a later date, then maybe you have the cable contractor bring those to a certain point at the ceiling, coil them up with a service loop, you know, near a column or somewhere you know you would run down, and then you could have it there. And if you did eventually want those cables run, you could just fish them down the column. If you had to, do a wire bulb on outside the column.
Do you think that's necessary, Andy?
The only place I can think of that is being abandoned that we might want is if we decide to split up the adult services desk again. But that, I mean, I don't foresee that happening.
Me neither. Okay. I'm just trying to give you options. Because like mm-hmm. I said, I want to address both concerns.
Well, you've been through the library, looked around. Yeah. What is, you know, Manny's given us some idea. What is your perspective when you've walked around? Do you feel there's an area that may require or need an extra line? If it's the, you know, if it's the circulation desk or adult services, or is there any thought?
Nothing I've seen would indicate that you're short. It's not like you've got a hub somewhere where now you've got one cable and you've got a switch thing on the desk and you're trying to get a bunch of cords run across the floor. There's nothing that...
Or upstairs even?
No, I didn't see anything when we walked upstairs that would indicate that you need additional.
So it really boils down to it's cost effective to do it with the sprinkler, which is somewhat obvious.
Yes, sir. We've gone back and forth and kind of like, and I've heard a lot of different things. Do you have an opinion as to would be the lowest responsible bidder in this case? Or do you give those opinions?
If you're asking me who I would award the project to, I would tell you without a doubt it'd be NetSource.
Right.
Because again, I walked through my concern with Smart Innovations, they are way off on their numbers. And like I said, I've gone with the manufacturer back to them, even they've looked at the quantities and did the takeoffs.
Is it because they're contracting out? That's a big
well, no,
part
it's, well, that's part of the labor, but just the materials alone. So originally when the bids came back, and again, we're going to get into the minutia, sorry. Right now, NetSource has 28,000 lineal feet of cable hold up. If you take 159 cable runs, and I kind of did the takeoffs myself. You know, you've got a couple runs that are probably up 208 feet. You've got a couple runs that are 50 feet because you're close. The average run is between 150 and 170 feet. Just use it as your ballpark. That's 27,000 linear feet of cable. NetSource has got 28,000 because there's always some wastage. It's not going to be perfect in the box. You know, Smart Innovations had 68,000 feet of cable. When you do the math, you divide the number of drops by that lineal footage, they're assuming every cable run is 438 feet. Well, the standard doesn't let you go past 300 feet. None of the cable runs here are more than 208 feet. So we went back to them and explained this to them. I said, you know, you might want to go back and revalidate your measurements. I think you're wildly old. Oh, I don't know. I'm telling you, you're wildly old. The manufacturer told them they're wildly old. The subcontractor they're working with told them your number's too high. And they still came back with a high number. Their final number, they finally came down to 36,000 linear feet. And that's still way too much. And what they can charge you for a box of cable, and again, you're paying for that subcontractor labor for them to distribute the warranty solution.
So Frank, if the board were to approve the bid tonight, they would need to approve the NetSource?
Correct.
Bid with the additional fee for the permit.
Correct.
And then the additional drop for a line in the meeting room.
Well, couldn't that just be a change order?
That could be a change order.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Then just the bid and
because
the
we're gonna get into this. Things are gonna get, they're gonna open
right.
up walls. You're gonna somebody's
find
gonna have
stuff.
A change of heart. They're gonna want to say, you know, after we second thought this, maybe we'll put an extra line in here, or maybe we don't need this one. After all, we will delete this one as well. You'll get a credit. So let's not muddy the waters. $60.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I haven't had this kind of grilling since I was in school in front of the principal's office.
I told you we were bringing the light down on you.
But no, and again, understand that I am not walking away from this process. We are here till the end. So any questions that come up, we're going to answer any RFIs that come up from the field. Because once we open the ceiling, no joking aside, that's when the bodies fall out, right? We don't know what's up until they get in there. So we might have to do some adjustments. You know, we don't know. I doubt there's going to be anything that's going to be detrimental to the project, but there's always that odd condition. There's a medium pressure loop in the way or something. Oh, hell.
I have one last question. And that is, how is your firm being compensated? Are you being paid a flat rate?
You're paid a flat rate, be correct.
Including the
construction
punch list?
Yeah. So my fees cover the design, the bidding process, the construction administration process, and the punch list. Yeah, there are no hidden fees right now. Unless you come back and say we want to add a wing out the library, then I'll have to change your order. But until then, we're good. We're good. I do appreciate you trying to see me.
Thank you.
I'll be
in touch tomorrow.
Yeah, you're free to go. You're free to go. You can take the chains and the shackles off.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys. And like I said, if anything comes up, let me know.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll be in touch tomorrow.
And then once you guys do make a final decision, I will notify the losing bidder and notify the winning bidder, because obviously then they're going to talk to your attorneys. And
yeah.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Drive safe.
Thank you.
Well, Madam Chair, I am prepared to make a motion to approve the contract with NetSource Solutions plus a $5,000 holdback from the permit.
I will second that.
Any further discussion?
I know we talked about the cable. Also, you added the permit on, which you said for $5,000.
Right.
Holdback. Right. Maybe we should state that in the approval. That's a $5,000 holdback.
That's what it says.
For the permit, and then the cable.
So the cable can be a change order.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be in the proposal.
Right. Okay.
Any other discussion?
I am very concerned about us investing $70,000 to $80,000 when we don't have any idea what our configuration of this library is going to be. We haven't done a space needs assessment. We don't know what the outcome when it eventually is done in terms of within our existing footprint, where things may be located and what the cost will be of moving. I was specifically asking the question because I can envision a lot of potential movement, but we've seemed to be dragging our feet on even doing the assessment, so we have no idea. I am concerned that we're going to have some costs with no long-term value if we approve this.
I had a question for Manny. In each of the rooms that are glassed off, that are glassed off, is the Wi-Fi strength good in each of those rooms?
Yes. We have a total of 5 access points throughout the library to ensure that signal strength is consistent.
Okay, thank you.
We just purchased more bandwidth.
Yes. Unfortunately, as I mentioned before, they're moving at the speed of government, so it hasn't come through yet, but...
Yes, I'd like a roll call, please.
Okay. Olson?
No.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer absent, Sias absent, Barry?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Danny?
Yes. Any new business at this time?
No.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Okay. Olson?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer, absent. Sias, absent. Barry?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Danny?
Yes. Yeah. 7:45.